Good morning. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
You ought to say amen because you have made it from last year to this year. This is the first Sunday in a brand new year, the first start of a new week in a brand new year. God has blessed us to be here once again. Last week we talked about getting to 2013. Now we are in 2013. You ought to be thankful. God has been good to us once again. I know I thanked Him because I didn't know if I was going to get up and make it to 2013. But He has allowed us to come over into a new year. Now, I'm not saying you're going to get the whole year. None of us may not. But at least we've made it to the beginning of the new year. So be thankful to God for that. Let us take a moment as we go to God in prayer. O Lord, our God and our kind Heavenly Father, it is Your mercy and Your grace that has brought us to where we're at today. Father, we went to sleep on last night not knowing what the morning may bring, if the morning came at all. But it did come, we did get up, and we are so very thankful. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, that You have blessed us to be able to come out and be with the other Christians once again, that we can share in the Word of God, that we may worship Thee in spirit and truth. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for this new day, this new week, and this new year. Father, it means that we are getting a year, or almost another year, means we are getting close to another year older. And I thank You, O Heavenly Father. Father, we thank You for the leaders of this congregation. We thank You for the membership and all of their families. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, for those brethren who have taken part in the services thus far. We thank You, O kind Heavenly Father, that Your will shall be done in all of our lives. We pray this morning for the sick and the shut in. We pray especially for those who are sick but are at home, but then we pray even more so for those who are in their hospital beds, O Lord. Thank You, Father. Thank You this morning, Father, for a bright new day. And just thank You for everything. Thank You for the parents who are raising their children. And we thank You, O Heavenly Father, for the husbands and the wives who are doing this job together. We pray and ask You now, kind Heavenly Father, that You continue to bless us as You did when You sent Your Son into this world to hang, bleed, and die on yonder's cross. And we thank You for that, O Lord. Now, my Heavenly Father, we pray that You be with us throughout the furtherance of this service, that You watch over and keep us, and that the things that we may do, that they may be found acceptable and favorable in Thy sight. In Your Son Jesus' name, we continue to pray and ask for all of these blessings and more. Thank You, O Lord. Amen. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from the 40th division of Psalms, starting with verse number 1 and going through verse number 4. Thank You, O Heavenly Father. And I want you to notice something in this 40th division of Psalms. I just want you to look at the first few words there. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. Now, the text starts off with a testimony there. He says, I waited patiently on the Lord, or for the Lord. So that's what I want all of us to do this morning. Wait patiently for or on the Lord. We ought to be kind and careful on how we try to rush God. As I've told you before, God's time is different than our time. I can promise you that God is able to do the same thing for you that He did for David in that Psalms right there. He is able to lift you up when you have been brought down. He is able to pick us up when we have fallen down. He is able to get us up when we have laid down. So thank God for what He does for us this morning. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. When you read the Psalms, you often find in them that we as humans get into rough patches. And so you notice how David was in a rough patch right there. And don't feel too sorry for David, because if you haven't already been there, you may be going there yourself. So this morning, let us see what happened to David, and what is he thanking God for, and what did he wait patiently for. He says he was brought up and he was brought out. He was in a horrible pit. He had been in great trouble. Somebody here may understand the plight this man had been under when he said in verse number 1, he said, "I waited patiently for the Lord. I waited patiently for God." And when we get into trouble and we ask God for help, we must be willing to wait and understand that God doesn't work on the same time as our watches. His watch doesn't coincide with our watches. His time does not coincide with our time. He can be in all the different places in the world at the same time, but we can only be in one place. So our watches doesn't synchronize with His watch. So when you think about it, when David said, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and He heard my cry." This morning, many of us have cried unto the Lord for whatever reason we have cried to Him for. But I like verse number 2 just as well. Look what verse number 2 says. He said, "He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my going." He was in some, what some might say today, in a pickle, if you will. When one falls into sin, he or she is in a pit that we cannot always get out of on our own. So David said, "I cried unto the Lord, and then I waited patiently." See, first of all, he had to cry unto the Lord, or pray unto the Lord, if you will. And then secondly, he had to wait upon the Lord. I tell you something, you can't rush perfection, and God is perfection. When we can rely on other people to help us, but sometimes and most of the time, God is the only one who can help us out of our situation. Watch how Hosea put it in Hosea chapter 6 and verse number 1. He said, "Come and let us return unto the Lord. He will heal us and He will bind us up." When you've been in trouble, when you can't make heads or tails out of anything, and when you've tried your best to get out of what you may be in, you got to return to the Lord. You know, some folks leave the Lord thinking that it's better that I go do this by myself. It's better that I can do this on my own. But you've got to return to the Lord that He will heal us and bind us up. We may have found ourselves a part of bad company. And bad company is not a good thing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and the verses 14, the Bible says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness?" In other words, you can't get with somebody who doesn't believe and think you're going to prosper yourself with the Lord. It just doesn't work. Oh yeah, you can, in the short run, you may have good things happen to you every so often. But if you want good things to be permanently addressed to you, you need to return unto the Lord. Those things that being not unequally yoked are the total opposites of one another. So you have to evaluate yourself in this new year to see where you are standing. Ask yourself, do I appreciate what Jesus has done for me? Chances are some will not see until they realize that the hopelessness condition they were in before Jesus saved us. Sometimes some of us, we think that it's better to do man's way than it is to go God's way. But I tell you, you can't be God. And so when you go back to the scripture once again, I like what he says. He says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and the Lord inclined unto him and heard his cry." If you ever go to the Lord in prayer, you've got to wait patiently. You've got to understand that God is not there for you only for you, but He's there for all of us who believe in Him. And then, look what He says in verse number 1. The psalmist says, "He brought him up out of a horrible pit." He brought him up, in verse number 2, I should say, "He brought him up out of a horrible pit in the miry clay and set his feet on a rock." Now, miry clay is simply but mud that you can sink down in. One can get stuck in and keep sinking and getting deeper and deeper. And sin is like that. You can start off very tiny, but then before you know it, it gets deeper and deeper, doesn't it, church? Oh, you don't have to say nothing. You don't have to admit anything this morning. But I know I'm right about it. I know that clay and mud can get you sunk down and just keep pulling you down. It's like quicksand in a way. It'll just keep pulling on you. And you get so far into it, it's very difficult to get out of by yourself. But if we, church, if we want to be lifted, we've got to come to know God. He not only can bring us up out of the pit of sin, but He can also exalt us. Watch what else He has done for us in John chapter 1 and verse number 12. But as many as received Him, to them He gave power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And then in Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 13, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. But in verse number 14, He says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Now, I know we have just come off what some of us call the holiday period. I know some of us have celebrated wildly and madly, many of us. I know some of us, as I mentioned to you just last week, some of us were in a situation where we were with people that we didn't like, giving gifts that we couldn't afford, and eating too much of what we shouldn't have ate. But I tell you something. When you go to God, when you trust in the Lord, He will see you through all of that. Now, God is not going to come and push you back from the table, but He gives you enough sense to know you've had enough. You know, I say often to myself when I'm sitting down to eat, I ask myself, do you really think you want all of that? Do you really want to eat all of that? So that's why when you take your food, you bless your food and you ask the Lord that this food may be filling for you. And sometimes a little food will do us much good as a lot of food. But many of us can't stop at a little bit of food. Many of us, as a matter of fact, can't stop at a little bit of anything. But what a wonderful feeling it should be to those who love the Lord that God is able. When we find ourselves in that pit and in miry clay and sinking sand, there is but one place and one person to turn to, and that's to the Lord in prayer. Be like the psalmist and wait on Him patiently. We do not have to be here in 2013. 2013 is a surprise for all of us, whether you believe it or not, because you didn't know that you were going to make it. And some of us are so surprised that I got here. But I tell you something. God allowed us to stay here, to be here for just a little while longer. Now ask yourself, is God good or is God good? God is awfully good, because some of us, and that might include the pulpit as well. I'm not just speaking to the audience. And when I speak to me too. And some of us may not even deserve to be here. Some of us have been in trouble so much that we don't even need to be here. But God has allowed us to be here nevertheless. We must remember all this as long as we live in this entire year, if we live this entire year, that God is the God of hope. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. The Lord is our hope of glory, but we must wait patiently on the Lord. We sing that song, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and His righteousness. But how many of us truly believe that? How many of us believe what we sing? How many of us believe that it is the goodness of God that I'm here on January the 6th, 2013, when I didn't know if I was going to make it from December 30th, 2012 to 2013. But we made it. And thank God that we made it. Thank God for His righteousness. Thank God for His grace and His mercy that He allowed us to be here. Not only did He bring Him up out of that pit, But he will keep us up. The Bible says, when you look at it, he says, he brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet up on a rock and established my going. So the Lord will keep us up if we let Him keep us up. Have you ever been so tangled up that it feels as though you may never find your way again? When the feelings of rejection, despair, and disappointment comes over you, all at the same time. That's an awful feeling. It's an awful feeling to know that I'm feeling like this and I can't do anything about it, but I can go to God about it. That's all that I can do. I can't take away some of the feelings that life presents to us. I can't make some of the things that life bring on us change, but I know God can. I know that God is able to lift me out of whatever kind of pit that I'm in. And when I get in these pits, when I fall below what, you know, sometimes you feel so low it seems like that just nothing is ever more important than getting yourself up. But sometimes when I can't get myself up, what do I need to do? Well, look what the text says again. It says, go to the Lord in prayer, because we know that's what it says, because He said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet up on a rock and established my going. And verse number 3 says, and He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. You've got to trust in the Lord. I just can't get over how well he put it when verse number 1 there, though, where he said, I waited patiently on the Lord. When you get in trouble, you've got to learn to be patient. If you got in trouble all at once, I can see it. But you didn't get in trouble all at one time. It took a long time for you to get in that horrible pit that you're in. Sometimes it took you thinking and planning to get in trouble, into that pit. Sometimes you just fell into that pit on your way. And you know, I remember how that sometimes life can throw you curveballs, as they say. And a curveball, a lot of times, you can't get out of the way of. It comes at you with blinding speed and without control even sometimes. And sometimes you fall into this pit. And I like how the psalmist said it. While he does not tell us what his feelings were caused, what this situation was caused by, we don't know if it was by sickness or by the trappings of his enemy. But what we do know from his writing is that he needed help as we do when we can't seem to get our lives right. So when he was brought up and his feet were set up on a rock. A rock represents strength. A rock is firm footing. And God set His feet up on a rock. God is our rock in a crazy world. And we live in a crazy, mixed up world. He's our rock in a world full of heartaches and misery. Then I like what the writer tells us, how that God established His goings. So will He do the same for us today? He is our shepherd and we are His sheep. According to John chapter 10 and verse number 28. He gives eternal life to us, and no man is able to take us out of His hand. But then if you go over with me to Romans chapter 8, look at verses 35 through 39. Read with me if you will. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. But look at verse number 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things nor things present, nor things to come. But I like how it wraps up in verse number 39. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You want the love of God? You got to go to Jesus Christ. You got to come through Jesus Christ to get the love of God. But then, the promise of eternal life is not bought, we're not able to buy it. We can't, it's not sold in any store, but it's free. Jesus already paid for it. And you ought to thank God that He paid for it for you and for me, because we couldn't pay for it ourselves. And then those few verses in Romans have given us assurance to those who are given assurance to those who are believers. In verse number 35, it starts with a question. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then it ends up that saying nothing and nobody and nothing that you can throw at it can separate us from the... You know who can separate us from the love of Christ? You. Just you. And just me. I'm the only one that can separate me from the love of Christ. And if I want to separate me from the love of Christ, and just like you, all you have to do and all I have to do is turn your back on Him. But God will not allow any man to pluck us out of His hand. So then this life, this eternal life, is available. And He said, I give eternal life. And the Father who authorized Jesus to come to this earth gave Him the power. Look at John chapter 17 and verse number 2. In His prayer to His Father, Jesus said, as Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. So I tell you, church, God is able to lift you up out of whatever pit you may find yourself in. Whatever pit you have gotten yourself in, God can get you out of it. He said, but I like it once again how that He waited patiently when He went to the Lord in prayer. How many times have you went to the Lord in prayer and said, Lord, I need this right now, right about now. I don't want to wait. I got to have it right now. I need to make a decision and I need your answer right now. And then sometimes we are so tied up waiting for the Lord's answer when He has already shown us the answer, we miss it. He may have given you the answer even before you asked, but you didn't see it. We've got to learn to be patient. We've got to learn to wait upon the Lord until the Lord answers us. If God has allowed us to have eternal life, why would He not be able to lift one out of a horrible pit? When we find ourselves in trouble, all we need to do is call on the Lord and wait patiently on Him. And I don't know about you, but as I told you a minute or two ago, I've been in a pit before. I've been there. As the young folks say, I've been there and I've done that. I've been in that pit before. And I couldn't get myself out. And I had to turn to the Lord. And that's how I got out of that pit that I was in. And you may not want to admit it, but you could have possibly have been in that same pit with me if you know what I'm talking about. You could have been in that same kind of pit, in other words. And all you got to do is you got to ask the Lord to get you out of that pit. And you got to wait patiently on Him while He gets you out of that pit. But I like how that God came to this world. He hung, bled, and He died for all of us. So that means, to me, that means that you have an opportunity to go to Him as well as I have an opportunity to go to Him. And sometimes you have to learn that you can't always rely on the prayer of others. You've got to pray for yourself. Notice what He said. He heard my cry. I waited patiently and He heard my cry. So we know that He must have prayed Himself. So when you ask the church to pray for you, and there's nothing wrong with asking the church to pray for you, but you've got to be in a position that you can pray for yourself as well. And then, while you're praying and asking Him, just hold on a little while. You know, we're here for a short while. And some of us think that Well, I've lived 80 some odd years. But I tell you something, 80 some odd years is not a really long time in the sight of God. It's still less than a whole day. But then somebody will say, well, I read just last week in the paper about these people who were the oldest people living, that they died. Well, everybody's going to die. And they were some, one or two of them were 114 or 115. And I remember reading the story and I said to myself, boy, what a long life they've had. What a long life they've lived. They've lived to be over a century old. Some of them were born back in the days when I was going to school. It was just history I was reading about some of those events. But some of those people lived those events. So if you want to live for a long, live a long life, you got to ask God to bless you that you can live a long life. And God has His priorities in order. It's us that don't. It's us that don't have our priorities in order. But while David was in this pit, you see, he was experiencing some things that many of us are going through right now, or many of us have been through, or many of us are getting ready to go through. But I tell you something about that. You just live for a little while and you may find yourself in the pit with David. You just may find yourself in that same kind of pit that David was in. It could be through sickness. It could be through sin. It could be through your misgivings. And I'm not talking about giving to the church either. It could be through your faults, in other words. But one thing I know, we serve a God who is able to get us out of that pit. We serve a God who is able to lift us out and then put our feet on a rock. And I tell you, there's nothing like having sure footing under you, is there? Is it, church? When you have sure footing, you know where you're going. You can have at least a way of knowing where you're going. Just keep stepping on the rock. Just keep stepping on the rocks and you'll find your way. God will establish your goings if you allow Him to. Should I go in that place right there? Mm-mm. You'll know that you shouldn't go in that place right there. You'll know that what place you should go in and what place you shouldn't go in. You know, now many of us are under a false assumption too that God is going to come and take you by the hand and say, don't go in there. Uh-uh. No, sir. No, ma'am. You have up here in the heart that you serve God with. You'll know through your conscience and through your heart that God is telling you where you should and should not go. He has instructed you, I should say, on where you should go and where you... And He gives you common sense to know where you should go and what you shouldn't do. If you believe in God, you'll know where I'm supposed to go. And if you trust in Him, you'll know. Now that we're here in 2013... I know my time is up. I got my watch on today. I'm getting ready to sit down. Here we are in 2013. And in 2013, you ask yourself the question, what am I going to do in 2013 that's going to be better than I did in 2012? How am I going to pace my life or live my life in 2013 better than I did in 2012? Well, I could truthfully say many of you started it off right because you came to the house of God. Many of you started it off right because you knew this morning when you first opened your eyelid, when you first touched the floor this morning, you said to yourself, I'm going to church this morning. I'm going to the household of faith. And so you're starting it off right. But will you keep it up all through the year if you live to make it this whole year? If you live this entire year, will you dedicate yourself to serving the Lord? Will you trust in Him like David did? He trusted in Him. He waited patiently on Him. Will you wait patiently for the Lord this year? Will you start out this Sunday, today, this Lord's Day? Will you tell yourself, I'm going to be a better Christian today, this year than I was last year? Will you tell yourself that I know that my God lives. I know that He is alive and well. And I know that He has a place for me in heaven if I but just do His will and continue to believe and trust in Him. Will you tell yourself that without the Lord, I'm nothing. Without the Lord, I can't make it on my own. I know what to do, but I can't do it without Him, without His guidance. So how do I get that guidance and how do I stay with the Lord? How do I come to the Lord? Well, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. Even though it's cold outside, Brother Jackson don't mind getting wet to start the year off. He'll get wet. Notice he smiled about it. And if you've already been there, if you've already been to the water, like many of us have, sometimes you go astray. And when you go astray, you need to go to the Lord like David did. You need to ask the Lord, incline the Lord that He may hear your cry. And then you need to come forward and ask the church to pray for you, that you may grow stronger. Now, we go through this every Sunday. I don't know how many of you hear me, but you need to listen to me and hear me, because as I always tell you, there's going to come a time when I'm not going to be able to help you. But I can help you now. I can suggest to you that you come forward and ask the church to pray for you, that you may grow stronger. And then wait patiently upon the Lord while He helps you to get stronger. If you could do it by yourself, you wouldn't need to come forward, but you can't do it by yourself. So if this is your chance, if this is your, you now have the opportunity, if you care to come forward or if you care to become a member of the Lord's body, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.